place and came to his hometown, and the disciples followed him. On the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief." Then he went about among the villages teaching.
Good morning. So we continue in this season of Lent. We're about halfway through. So for those who gave up something and are finding it really, really hard, just to let you know, we're halfway through. I know some have given up desserts and some have given up caffeine, and I've shared that a friend in the past even gave up rice. But we also want to remember Lent not just as a time of giving up, but also as a time of preparation, where we as Christians gather together to prepare for the day that we know Jesus was crucified on the cross, resurrected for us as well. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you guide my words, that you know our reflections, that we learn more about your Son, Jesus Christ, to truly know what he is called, Son of God and Son of Man. Know our reflections, and may they be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So the past few Sundays, we've been looking at stories of Jesus, and if you notice in his ministry in the beginning, he was very well accepted. Who would not want a person or not accept a person who does these amazing things, to teach the word of God, to perform these healing miracles, to even turn water into wine at a wedding for all the wedding guests? All these times he was easily accepted. But we also remember that with all these good times, there were what you might call bad times, when Jesus wasn't always accepted, when he was rejected even, or last year when people chose the value of the money or the swine herds over Jesus and begged him to leave their town when all the swine were killed because of an action Jesus took. So then we look at this morning's passage from the Gospel of Mark, and we see what happens when Jesus returns to his own hometown even. But first, I want to share a little bit something about the Gospel of Mark itself. When you look at the Gospel of Mark, it doesn't have Jesus' birth story, but the Gospel of Mark does tell us so much about the identity of Jesus. In the Gospel of Mark, we hear so many opinions of what Jesus is called. It's great that Kimmy, during children's time, she said names Jesus was called and names that we know Jesus as. We as Christians need to know, who do we say that Jesus is? What do we call Jesus Christ as well? And Mark deals with discovering the identity of Jesus in his different encounters with people, from his own relatives to his own hometown persons, to strangers, to the scribes, to the Pharisees. All these encounters tell us more and more about the identity of Jesus Christ. But first, I want you to turn to your hymnal, the red hymnal, United Methodist hymnal, in front of you. And if you don't have it, maybe you can share with someone. And turn to page 880. And we're going to read together what our belief as Methodists, as Christians, are, who we believe Jesus is. Often, as Christians, we read together what we call this affirmation of faith. And one of the most famous ones is called the Nicene Creed, written by the Apostle Fathers. And in the very first, the second paragraph, everyone says, page 880, Nicene Creed. The second one talks about what we believe in Jesus Christ. And I'd like us to read that together, just that paragraph. Does everyone see it? Okay. "We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from light, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scripture, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I wanted us to read this Nicene Creed to remember what we believe in Jesus, who we say that Jesus is. Jesus is begotten from God, but also born under the Virgin Mary. It is a reminder that Jesus is both human and both divine. And the Gospel of Mark talks about that many times, reminding us of both the humanness of Jesus, but also the divinity of Jesus. And as Jesus continued his ministry, he began to begin more and more on the side of divinity, as he was showing the many powers that he had, as he healed the sick, as he raised the dead, as he fed thousands of people from just a basket of food, all these divine actions. But we must also remember that Jesus was human as well. It's so important to remember that God chose someone, his form, in human form, to help save the world. If you remember the times that God chose to save the world, those so important times we have in our scripture readings, we know that in the Old Testament, oftentimes when God was choosing to save the world, there were these mighty, amazing acts. Think about the ministry of Moses as he sought to free the Israelites, was a spokesperson for God. When Moses would throw his staff down, it would turn into a serpent, God's mighty act. When Moses told Pharaoh of the plagues that were to come, the river turned red from blood. The locusts came and covered all the land, and even firstborn sons were killed. These are all amazing acts by God. But then we see a shift from all these amazing acts by God to save people to then using a more human aspect, a more human approach. For God, we know also in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, used prophets to share the words of his visions and share their dreams. It was a very human thing. He chose messengers instead. And then we come to Jesus' time when God sees how the world is and all the desire and need for God in people's lives. And God then didn't choose just mighty acts as he did with Moses. He didn't just choose a human approach of just straight messages and words and delivering of prophets and dreams by the prophets, but he chose this wonderful combination that we get in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man. It is so important to remember that Jesus was this way, both the Son of God and Son of Man. I was going to have you do, just for fun, a test on your back of the worship bulletin, but Kimmy did such a great job of writing words that we know Jesus by that we'll kind of use that. When we talk about words that we know Jesus by, we use words like Messiah, Redeemer, Savior, Alpha, and Omega. These are all high and mighty words, but they're not quite human words. So we do need to remember that Jesus, yes, was a teacher, that he was the brother, that he was a son, and that he also was a carpenter at some point in his life. And that's what we see when we come to this morning scripture passage, when Jesus returns to his hometown. We know that in Mark chapter 6, it starts off with verse 1 and 2, that says Jesus left the place where he was, and he came to his hometown, and the disciples followed him. Now, it would be natural to expect when Jesus returned to his hometown, people would greet him with open and loving arms. Just as today, when our college students come home for the summer, we are excited to see them because we haven't seen them in a while. Or when you have a loved one who lives in a different state and visits you, you are excited that they're coming, you maybe prepare for their homecoming, and you spend time together. You have a great time. So you might think that Jesus and his disciples expected such a similar welcome, to be openly greeted, to be welcomed everywhere they went, and to be accepted in what they did. But then we see in this morning's passage that on the Sabbath day, Jesus chose to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him, they were astounded. They say, "Where did the man get all this? What is his wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands?" They are astounded that Jesus, Mary's son, Joseph's son, this carpenter, his brothers and sisters are present. They didn't know that he would be so wise in his wisdom and saying all these teachings, and they might have even heard about what he'd been doing before he arrived in the town. It's interesting to see that they ask the question at the end, what deeds of power are being done by his hands? The theologians think there's a specific wording used, done by his hands, because Jesus, as they expected him to be, son of Joseph from their hometown, they expected him to be a carpenter. And a carpenter uses his or her hands when they make and build things. A carpenter would use his hands to saw the wood or use his hands to hammer and nail things together. In biblical times, use his hands to build homes even. So they were astounded that Jesus was using, they say, his hands in a different way. Hands to teach, hands to heal, hands to serve as God's love. He was doing something different to them. They expected him to be a certain way. Can you imagine? Let's see. Does anyone do now for their career what their parents do? So Kimmy, that's right. Her mom is a teacher and Kimmy is a teacher. Anyone else? Philip? So your dad or your mom? Electrician. Okay. Yeah, so two. That's not too bad. But in biblical times, if I were to ask that question, everyone should be raising the hand. If your father was a carpenter, you became a carpenter. If your father was a tax collector, you were a tax collector. If your father worked for the royal court, you most likely worked for the royal court. Can you imagine if that was the case today? Would we have more teachers? Would we have more nurses? Would we have more electricians? My parents are bankers and an accountant. My sister and I would not be in the film or ministry industries. We'd instead be bankers or accountants. I don't think that you can imagine me being a banker or an accountant. But for Jesus' times, it was expected. Even carpentry was a way and an apprentice work that he was probably taught as a young boy. Do you ever wonder why our scripture passages aren't filled with stories of Jesus as a young boy? We know that age 12, he lost his parents, or his parents lost him, but he was actually found teaching in the temple. But that's about it. We don't hear Jesus at age 6 following his dad to work. We don't hear Jesus at age 10 helping to build a bench with his father, carpentry work he might have done as a young child. No, we then focus on Jesus when he began his ministry. At the time of his baptism, when a dove appeared and the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son," claiming Jesus' divineness as well. So then we see in this morning's passage that the people are questioning what he is doing. And they say, is this not the carpenter? They're calling him carpenter. They say the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. They even say his sisters are present there with him. And they took offense at him. They are holding on to Jesus' humanness, that he was a carpenter, that he was a son, that he was a brother, that he was a fellow person they knew from their hometown. They are so tightly holding on to that humanness of Jesus that they don't see the divine. They don't see God's love present. And instead, they are offended. Can you imagine today people going around saying, "I'm offended by Jesus"? That would be a shocking thing to hear. But we know in Jesus' time, people were saying that. People began to plot against Jesus. People began to be upset by Jesus. This all led to the path of the cross that we must recognize today as well. And they say that Jesus was the carpenter's son. They say that he was a human son belonging to Mary. They say that he was a brother. They're reminding Jesus of his humanness. But we must remember that Jesus is both son of God and son of man. We know that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it talks about the birth of Jesus, the human birth of Jesus. It says that the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was to be born with child of the Holy Spirit. It reminds us that Jesus was born of Mary and Joseph, but also of the Holy Spirit. So then when we hear the beginning of Jesus in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, we hear about the divineness of Jesus. For it says in John 1, 1 to 4, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. What came into being in him was life, and he was the life of all people." That is another word we use for Jesus, the light and the word of God. So then when we see this morning's passage that the people are associating Jesus with humans' words, it's neat to see Jesus' response when they are offended by him. He could have probably done some amazing miracle again there in the synagogue. He probably could have quoted some more things from God's words to the people. But instead, he reminded them of another human kind of thing. He reminded them of the prophets. For Jesus responds to the people who were offended by him that morning, saying that prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. Jesus is so smart. He is reminding these people who are only associating him with human qualities of another great quality of humanness, of the prophets of the biblical times, of their own history and what the prophets did. He reminded them that the prophets were not listened to, that the prophets were even rejected by their own hometown, their own kin as well. For Jesus knows what is happening to him as he himself is being rejected by his own hometown and kin. So then when you think about Jesus' ministry and think about him rejected by his own hometown and his kin, you might wonder, what would Jesus do after that? There's that question that we always talk about when you talk about how a person is raised, whether it's biology or environment that raises a person, nature versus nurture. Is a person shaped because of their biological family and their genes and the things that make themselves up? Or is a person shaped who they are because of the environment around them? One sociologist did a study on a 1980s Montreal Canadian hockey team, and they thought, how are all these players on this hockey team so great? Is it because they live in Canada where the weather is cold and perfect for hockey settings? Is it because they live in a town where everyone loves hockey and everyone is encouraged to play hockey? Is it because they came from families where maybe their father, their grandfather, their uncles played hockey? Or is it because in their genes they have something that physically makes them good hockey players? The sociologist examined all these factors. Was it nature? Was it nurture? Was it their biological makeup? Was it their environmental makeup? And what the one sociologist found an amazing thing on one of the Montreal hockey team's roster was everyone on that hockey team, the 20-some players, they were all born between the months of January, February, and March. Everyone on that team. And they discovered that in the Canadian hockey system then, that when you were a child, the season would start December, January, February, and March. So you had to be a certain age. If you were born in the springtime after those months, or even the summer after those months, you had to wait a whole nother year before you could play. So they say that factor of being born in January, February, or March, being allowed to start the season as a young child and play early, helped build this hockey team up. Now, there's no evidence that this works for all the things, but the sociologist who studied that Montreal team said that was the most common factor. It wasn't biological factors. It wasn't, if they had grandfathers or fathers that played. It wasn't how much time they spent practicing or what great coaches they had. The most common factor was that all the players were born in January, February, or March. So we sometimes wonder then, what affects Jesus and his ministry? Was it nurture? Was it nature? Was it biology? Was it environment? And we see the environment that Jesus was in as he was beginning and continuing his ministry wasn't always inviting, but yet he continued to be our prophet. He continued to be our teacher. He continued to be our Messiah. So we know that Jesus had also the nurture in him, the Son of God in him, the divine presence born and made from the Holy Spirit for God's love to show all the world. So when we think about Jesus and we talk about who Jesus is and who we say that Jesus is, we have our words and our affirmations of faith, but we also must know the words from the Scripture, the Bible, that tells us that Jesus is both the Son of God, divine, and Son of man, human. And that is so important for us as Christians to truly know and understand that as we then spread the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ to all. So I'll continue to talk about that in future Sundays as well. Let us pray. Loving God, we hear your word and again the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ. So thankful for his birth for us as Son of Man, but also so thankful for the birth and the way he saved us as Son of God. For we truly know that his sacrifice was so great, For you, Lord, have shared your love to us through Jesus Christ, so that we may continue to remember that he is our prophet, that he is our teacher, that he is our Messiah, and most importantly, our Savior. In his name, amen.